Hello, everybody. It is great to be here one more time today. My name is Gary Fowler, and I'm the CEO, president, and founder of GSD, Get Shit Done Venture Studios, a premier AI and quantum venture studio located in the heart of Silicon Valley. I'm a 17-time serial entrepreneur with several unicorns under the belt. I was on the original management team of Click Software, which was sold to Salesforce for $1.35 billion, also Eva.ai, an AI HR tech company that I co-founded with Dr. David Yang. We believe at GSD that intellectual capacity is evenly spread around the world, but opportunities are not. With that, today is Simple Night Presents, and I am the host. I have an incredible guest today, Kartik Gada. He's a serial entrepreneur. He teaches at Stanford University. He's an AI guru. And today we're going to be talking about generative AI and travel concierge services. So with that, I'd like to bring my friend Kartik on board. Hi, Kartik. How are you today?
Hello, Gary. How are you?
Good. So tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your background.
Well, originally engineering background, and then went into finance because I'd done an MBA. In fact, first I started marketing and then transitioned to finance, worked at Intel and Netgear. And then I've been in AI for about 12 years now. So long before, just like Gary, long before AI became hot, and a lot of people who are in AI have only been in it for about 2 years. I've been in about 12 years. And through the many cycles of AI, I published a lot of research reports about it and wrote an entire book, which had 400,000 readers, about the economics of technology and highly disruptive technology's impact on the world, AI being the most disruptive, but not only AI. Also teach at Stanford occasionally. One of the classes is the new economics of disruptive technology, and sometimes some shorter seminars as well in the business school and such. But ultimately, everything's about AI and the economics of technology, and that means valuation for startups, startup financing, all of the above.
So what kind of impact is AI having on our planet today, and how profound is the impact?
Well, I consider AI to be the ultimate technology, a game changer, in that many things that required human labor can be done 5, 10, 50, 100, 1,000 times faster. Now, a lot of people interpret that as AI taking away jobs, and that is true in some cases, but also in many cases means that a lot of work that was not getting done at all because there were not enough people to do them or not enough budget to pay enough people to do something are getting done, and certain capabilities which would have been entirely out of the reach of anyone even 20 years ago, let alone further back than that, are becoming quite attainable. This, of course, has to require a shift in all of our institutions, notably in government, in terms of how labor is treated in the economy, taxation of labor, how to help people when they are displaced and have to retrain for new jobs, which is going to be an ongoing aspect of many workers' lives and so forth.
So, you know, the companies that are out there that don't use AI today, generative AI, how successful do you think they're going to be in 5 years? How big of a deal is it to use AI as part of your strategy?
It's extremely important, and companies that don't use it will necessarily fall behind, because companies that do figure out how to use it properly can do, say, twice as much work for the same number of people. Now, what does that mean? That means that the profit margins of the company can rise tremendously by more than twice, simply on account of that. And companies that use AI will just leave the competition behind, and bigger companies that don't use AI will have to face competition from smaller companies that they previously would not have considered to be a threat. Now, that being said, it's not obvious how to get the most value out of generative AI in the enterprise or small, medium business. And there's a fair bit of confusion and trepidation about that, too.
So, you know, let's talk about, you know, we talk about generative AI and travel concierge. You know, how would you differentiate an AI-powered concierge service from a traditional travel agency from an operational standpoint? How profound can the impact be having that AI-powered concierge?
So the impact can be quite substantial. Now, if you look at just the travel booking experience, think back. In the old days, 25 years ago, you had a human travel agent that you had to call, and you probably knew one that was good, and you needed a recommendation for one that was good. And you'd ask them to book the tickets and do this. And there would be a cost associated with that as well. and it was pretty opaque in terms of the pricing and everything. Fast forward a little bit, you had more online booking, things like Kayak and Orbitz and other types of services, which was still maybe a Web 1.0 or like a 2000s era type of service, Priceline and so forth. So fine, you could get more pricing transparency, learn about more bookings, even learn about airports you didn't know about if you were going to a large metro and they had a smaller airport with a better flight, and you might not have discovered that even in the past. But now you get to today, a lot of things have changed. It is on some level less travel because more people meet over video conference, just like we're doing this podcast over video conference, a capability that may not have existed before. And so certain types of travel has gotten eliminated, and the consumer has the ability to be more selective. But with AI now, you can get a tremendous automation of an entire itinerary. You can say, I would like to go to this place for 1 week and see these types of sites and keep the budget under X, and what would have been a tedious manual process, even in the days of just online booking like Kayak or Priceline, something let alone in the travel laden days, it can generate a lot of this for you pretty well as give you tips in terms of avoid this area and how to be less of a target for crime, because tourists are always a target for crime, and so on and so forth. So AI can do a lot of this much more easily, saving a lot of time and eliminating a lot of pitfalls, traps, and other hardships that may have been unexpected problems for the traveler, whether a tourism type traveler or for business travel as well.
Let's talk about hyper-personalization. You know, how is AI and hyper-personalization impacting different industries today? And then in particular, what do you think on the travel side? And how important is it?
So hyper-personalization is something that is possible for the reasons I mentioned earlier, in that AI can do things at much lower cost that may have required tremendous human participation and thus would have been very expensive before. Everything from writing letters in your voice or getting custom clothing designed that fits you versus off the rack. These are things that people today and in the very near future will consider to be normal and available to everyone, and will find it odd that in the past we had to have a one-size-fits-all type of approach to so many things because hyper-personalization was not accessible. It was too expensive. And we're seeing this in a countless number of industries. Anyway, I could give 10 examples very easily in addition to those first two. In travel, when you have a hyper-personalization of the experience, because let's say a family is going on a vacation to a certain place and different family members want to do perhaps different things, and then there can even be a bit of a itinerary customization, like, okay, the father and son want to see this type of thing over here, and then the mother and daughter want to see a different type of thing over here. And instead of doing all that manually, AI can make those recommendations and also identify the to and from and what could be matched in terms of time. This will take 6 hours, that'll take 5 hours, therefore you could split the, at this point versus other points, you shouldn't split, you should do this together. And all these various customizations that would have been very manual and thus would not have been done, so people's expectations were lower. Now the expectation gets higher because of the accessibility of this type of customization and hyper-personalization that is now pervading more and more consumer products and experiences, and certainly travel bookings are part of that.
Yeah, so you look at it, you know, the world surely changed, right? We're inundated with infobesity. And when we're traveling, imagine being on a plane flying from Miami out to San Francisco. Imagine if it knows what seats you want to sit in the front of the plane because you like first class on the right-hand side by the window. It understands when you get out there who's from Ohio, from your hometown, and sets up a meeting so you can meet him or her, that you both like to have sushi or Wrangler steak. It knows that you need to go and play pickleball, and it sets up the court. So, I mean, it's, in, you know, how inefficient, think about it. You know, you book something and you go out to San Francisco, it knows the hotel you want, it knows the food you like, it knows the car, and it finds out the deal for you that's a budget that's not at a place like National at the time. So these kind of experiences, but imagine that when it's expanded to everything and it becomes something like an omni-channel engine of everything, because that's what it's all about, right? We're so inundated, we don't have time to make the right decisions.
Yeah. And two other aspects of that. getting these prices on unused capacity with low marginal cost finally become the reality, because we thought with things like Priceline, let's say 25 years ago, you would bid on something, and if you bid a super low price enough times, you'll get a ticket to Europe for just $80 or something like that. Now, that never quite became a reality because of the insufficient granularity of the engines and so forth. But with AI and an entire itinerary that can be customized, there is a chance to get that. Whereas someone, let's say a young person who doesn't really care about leaving on short notice, they can just have what you could call effectively a limit order on something. And when there's a ticket to Europe for a super low price, just because the plane is half empty and the carrier is willing to let it go for this long, the AI can notify them their bag could be ready and they can go to the airport on short notice, 3 hours, and just do that. And there is a niche category for people like that who on short notice will go somewhere just because the price is very low. Now, there is a darker side to this type of hyper-customization as well, which always has to be talked about. In a day and age of identity theft and hacking and scams and high-tech crime, with criminals also using AI, if they can hack the system and find out about your hotel and your travel and everything about your itinerary and all that, they can map exactly how to prey on the tourist as well. So identity security and anti-hacking cybersecurity protocols are even more needed when you have an AI-generated type of itinerary that could be hacked, which in the past would be harder to do. So that does have to be said as well, in that technology makes a lot of things easier, but criminals can use technology too.
No, I hear you there. You know, if you look at it, you know, what types of data are critical for AI to be able to do hyper-personalizations for everything? What does it need to look at in order to make that specific for you, Kartik? How does it work?
So real-time capacity of airlines, hotels, things like that to get a good deal. Also, knowing more about my preferences, because someone can say if they're going to Italy, they want to do A, B, and C possible things over there. As prior travelers have done the same thing, there is more data. Okay, this restaurant got a good review. And see, a good review from the American tourist could be different than a good review from the local people, because the food preferences could be slightly different. And as more people put in reviews, it's easier for each subsequent person to get more precise recommendations. So in my case, the recommendations would be tailored based on the data collected around each experience and the transit times and what the expected costs of various things are, where you would places to avoid, because this is where a tourist either was robbed or something else happened. So that data goes in the system and creates an avoidance of that location. As more data accumulates, the ability to get more hyper-personalized in the total experience in all aspects, not just the fun aspects or the cost aspects, but even the safety aspects, the avoidance of inconvenience or tourist traps or scams or things like that also come into play, and therefore gets better and better from prior accumulated data. Now, there's a lot of data on things like Yelp and other review services as well that can be incorporated, so it doesn't have to start from scratch, but then much more real-time info on every hotel, on every transit route, everything is definitely going to make all of this very, very valuable.
So how do you go down through, you know, what are some of the best practices when you use an AI-generated suggestions? How do you, you know, one, make it accurate, two, make it ethical, and three, make it unbiased? How do we have that problem with all AI, but how do you know, what do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, as with every other type of AI, there is a bit of a learning curve on what you should type in to get the types of result you want, whether you're using a text-based AI to write documents or you're using AI to produce art or anything like that. There is a learning curve, and the same will happen over here. Now, fortunately, you can use things like ChatGPT or Grok or Claude to even help you with what you should type in into a travel type AI to get the type of results that you actually want, which can help these things become easier for you. But at the same time, there has to be more of a awareness of what you would really like. So it all, in some cases, comes down to knowing yourself as well as perhaps having a realistic assessment about, well, what are the risks? Am I going to be a victim of crime? And to what extent I want to avoid that? And those types of things when one travels on a vacation or even on a business trip in that regard.
You know, you mentioned a lot about identity theft. How pervasive is that? And are the crooks, the bad people, going to start using AI to be able to figure out more and more about who you are so they can clone you, right, in a not good way?
Unfortunately, it's becoming very, very pervasive. In fact, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, the cover story of The Economist magazine, a very important magazine, the cover story was a multi-page feature about identity theft, scams, and things like that, and how creative they are becoming. Whether you're sitting at home and they're trying to figure out your password from the dark web to hack into a bank account is one thing, but a travel itinerary type of hacking could be particularly vulnerable because they can know when a easy target, let's say a U.S. tourist going to some faraway country, where they're going to be at what time to kidnap them and hold them for ransom. And not to scare everyone over here, but these criminals are becoming very innovative. They are much more adaptable than law enforcement, which is years behind and does have a fair amount of apathy because ultimately they don't have the right incentive structure. And if they can hack into where a person's going to be while they're in another country, then criminals can become very sophisticated in that regard. And at the moment, it's getting worse, not better.
Well, that's interesting. What about how do you balance between the human touch points that we need for things like customer service and travel with AI and automation? How do you really balance that to create a really incredible customer experience?
Well, if the AI gets certain hallucinations and makes a very wrong recommendation, that can still happen. Now, as LLMs and other AI type tools get better, that becomes less and less. But we all know about instances where, for example, there was a self-driving car and it drove a passenger over a bridge that was being constructed because the bridge was shown in Google Maps as being completed and the construction data was not updated. So someone who did not need to die, died. And there have already been anecdotal instances like that. In travel, if a certain hotel is shut down for a week or a certain tourist attraction shut down, or if there has been a natural disaster or some other incident in a location, it should notify would-be travelers about that real time. So they don't book travel at a place that is not suitable to travel at that particular time. And so that type of real-time updating of data is necessary because, as we know, with older technologies like Google Maps and so forth, it's not updated real-time. It's updated over several months. So if a place has had a natural disaster or some other type of problem or a terrorist attack or whatever, then making the recommendation of those types of bookings harder and keeping the customer informed real time is an essential piece of that. So we avoid all sorts of problems about why it's not suitable to go to this place at this particular time, or why just because the tickets are cheap because nobody else is going there doesn't mean you should go there, because someone is saying, I want to go somewhere out that's a good tourist location where it's the cheapest right now. Some people are going to be in that type of market. They don't really care so much where, as long as whatever's the best deal at a given time. And the AI should not recommend, well, you should go to Lebanon or whatever right now because it's cheap to go there because there's warfare and it's a very difficult place to go and a dangerous place for any tourist to go. So the AI has to be smart enough not to make these adverse recommendations just because the user said, I'll go somewhere that tourists like to go and that's cheap, and even though a particular place might be cheap at a given time for the wrong reason.
What do you think in terms of, you know, for hotels, airlines, and corporate travel agencies, how important is it for them to integrate AI into their strategies?
It's extremely important to integrate AI because the traditional travel agent has been gone for a long time. Those of us old enough to remember, you would have to call the human travel agent. And in my case, if I would have to book a ticket to India, it was very tedious in that there was this weird system where if you book a ticket, doesn't mean you have it. They'll still give it away to someone else. And you have to do something called reconfirming with the agent. It was very tedious and a low trust process. Also, the travel agent was not even a pleasant person. It was very rude. If I make changes, and I'd be in my 20s, and the travel agent is older, said, you kids don't understand that you're making me do more work and that type of nonsense. So obviously, automation is much better than those types of suboptimal experiences. But to the extent any travel agent or any middleman type of layer can even exist at all, it has to be very heavily incorporated into AI so that they can have all those premium services and granularity and pass the benefits on to the customer that I discussed earlier. Otherwise, the presence of manual participants in the industry itself is not justified unless they're using AI to add additional value.
Yeah, it's interesting. And what strategies should a company use in order to integrate these systems together? What about the existing CRM systems? How important is it to integrate all this together as one?
Integration is extremely important because only then do you have the end-to-end solution I described, like the airline pricing combined with hotel recommendations and the transit times and which tourist locations are good and tailored towards the preferences of the individual. Because someone might think, well, I have to go see this because this is what everyone goes to see. But if you're not going to enjoy that, even though it's popular with a lot of people, the AI should have the ability to say, a lot of people go here, but this isn't really your type of thing, for example. Therefore, the true value is manifested only when it's completely end-to-end with all tourist reviews of locations combined with the lodging and the ground transportation and the airline as a complete end-to-end type of solution that has a holistic aspect to it tailored to the individual, which of course also needs the super high security for the reasons I mentioned.
And how do you think, you know, but based on that point, how much operational efficiency could a company expect by using these tools to be able to help them? What do you think in terms of optimizing pricing and getting the right product, the right place at the right time? How important is it?
And it's very important because we're creating that new layer, as I mentioned, in that people who might not go on a trip at all, but now can go because it is hyper-personalized and it's less expensive than they thought because they put in the preferences of waiting for the lower price, and that has to tie to the rest of their itinerary and so forth. So when you're getting people to go on trips that 15 years ago, the same person would not have been interested to go on because of the hassle of booking and the uncertainty of whether they're getting a good deal and the general anxiety about, well, in a new place, if I get injured, do I have the travel health insurance? Or if I'm a victim of crime, what will happen? Things like that. You have to have everything end to end to create this new customer layer at the lower price relative to before, because all technology is deflationary if done properly. And then you get a net growth in the marketplace that creates new customer demand and favorable reviews that cause that type of reinforcement loop.
How do you think over the next 3 to 5 years that generative AI is going to impact? Well, let's look at travel, right? What do you think over the next 3 to 5 years? One is, how profound will that impact be? And in what ways will it impact it?
The impact will be quite substantial, perhaps not as profound as certain other areas where AI has created 1,000x productivity gain, but still quite profound because of this type of hyper-personalization, which, as I mentioned, could create tourists out of people who did not want to bother going to a certain place or get off the beaten path locations more visibility. Because, see, everyone wants to visit France, Spain, and Italy. Those are the three most popular countries to visit in the whole world. But everyone knows about those, and it's a mutually reinforcing thing. There are lesser-known places that are very good that just never had the ability to market themselves to the same extent and don't have that self-reinforcing momentum. But this type of AI can say, hey, you can go to this off-the-beaten-path location that is safe, and it's much cheaper because of lower demand, and you can go here. And if you're flexible on dates, you can get an even lower price. And there will be a lot of automated marketing for lesser known places of quality. So a more level playing field versus, you know, everyone has to go to Paris or everyone has to go see the pyramids of Egypt. Even if that may not necessarily be what a particular person would find to be the most fun relative to something else.
What do you think things like multimodal AI and virtual assistants, well, do you think that they're going to have a substantial role in terms of, you know, voice and all the parts of multimodal and also virtual assistants? Do you think it's going to be profound, or do you think it's going to be moderate? What do you think?
I think it'll be moderate. Profound is something I reserve for only the biggest disruptions. I think it'll be moderate. But when you have this type of assistance that makes the whole system easier, and then whenever you have a question or a problem, when you have the travel agent over the course of your trip that is a AI voice assistant, you feel you're not alone. Or if you have a question, or if you want to change something or itinerary on the fly, you don't have to research a lot of things because you're worried about what you're doing. In the virtual systems, there's a whole category of applications over there as well. Everything from VR type, checking out a place slightly beforehand, that is only a few years away, as well as other aspects of the actual concierge type assistance of figuring things out or things you should do while you're over here. Many times all of us have an experience of we went to a place when there wasn't as much information on the internet, and we didn't realize there was something we really wanted to do in that place that we just didn't know about. Missing something important is going to be much less likely because it just didn't occur to you to search for it, because the AI recommendation will give that to you proactively, knowing what exactly you like.
What are the first steps that companies should take to integrate AI into their strategies and for these tools to be successful?
Well, if it's a B2B type of experience, like if a large company has a lot of employees traveling around for business, then a certain standardization of the platform could save that company a lot of money and get things into a standardized location. Because I remember when I used to work at Netgear, and then around 2005, 2006, we used to do a marketing tour in Europe. So I would go to Europe for 18, 19 days and go to 7 or 8 different countries. And everything was manual, from this leg to this leg to this leg, and then find the hotel. And it took so many hours just to organize that itinerary by looking at every individual one-way flight and which hotel is good and staying under our budgetary requirement and all of the above. And things turned out well, but as I think about it, so much could have gone wrong in that whole type of system. And instead, you know, you have at a company, if you had a concierge that was standardizing at least one corporation's travel to be much more uniform, like everyone is steered towards staying in a certain hotel when they go to a certain location, this, or going in a certain route, or these types of data getting accumulated into the system, then there's a lot of cost savings and a much lower chance of, say, the new employee getting lost or something because they had to go on a business trip to a place they weren't familiar with, and they end up missing the meeting because there were things they didn't know, or they got detoured or something like that.
And, you know, closing thoughts, Kartik, and how do people get a hold of you?
So the best way is through LinkedIn to get a hold of me, because at least then I can see it's a legitimate contact and who we might know in common. And I can talk about any aspect of AI in considerable detail. And in closing thoughts, remember, with artificial intelligence, some people are very worried about what will happen, not just about their job, but also disruptions of system they're used to. But AI is a tool. Remember, if it's automating a function, you should be the employer of AI. Do what used to take 10 people's worth of work, but with AI, you don't have a payroll, so you can accumulate all the money for yourselves. And that's one of the things we spoke about, how travel type companies and the travel agents of old can transition to create new markets and new customers by doing things with AI that were not possible before, thereby generating new demand.
Kartik, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today at Simple Night Presents AI, and we appreciate it. And to all the viewers out there, thank you one more time for joining. My name is Gary Fowler, and I'm your host. Stay happy, stay safe, and stay healthy, and we'll be back to you again next week with another exciting edition of SimpleNight.AI Presents. My name is Gary Fowler. I'm your host. Take care of yourselves. Thanks, Kartik.
Thank you.